President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 20th on the West Coast, now July the 21st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would like very much to welcome those of you in the U.S. military around the world listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and former military members as well. I've been leaving you folks out, and I shouldn't do that. So I'm correcting myself here. Also, those listening in on blogtalkradio.com. Before I bring tonight's guest up, and I want to let you know, I'm really hoping this is a monumental show. We're gonna do something very inspirational tonight, and we're going to point out point blank what's going on around the world. And I'm going to start out with a little bit of levity. This is going to be a heavy show. And if you're inclined to do so, you might want to jot down some notes. Not for this part here, unless you're into books. Now, people tell me, wow, you write big articles. They're long articles, and it's like reading a book, and I don't have time for that. Well, these are a list. I'm going to read you a list of 18 of the world's shortest books. You should be able to read these lickety-split, as we say. I'm going to read the list backwards because, in a way, they get more important as they go along. Number 18, the title is My Complete Knowledge of Military Strategy by Barack H. Obama. Number 17, Book of Morals by Bill Clinton with the introduction by the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Number 16, How to Drink and Drive Safely by the late Ted Kennedy. Number 15, My Plan to Find the Real Killers by O.J. Simpson. Number 14, The Amish Phone Directory. Number 13, Guide to Dating Etiquette by Mike Tyson. Number 12, To All the Men We Have Loved Before. And I guess I should sing, To All the Men We've Loved Before. Anyway, this is by Ellen DeGeneres and Rosie O'Donnell. Number 11 of the world's shortest books, A Collection of Motivational Speeches by Dr. Jack Kevorkian. Number 10, Things We Know to Be True by Al Gore and John Kerry. Number 9, Things I Would Not Do for Money, Dennis Rodman. Number 8, Things I Cannot Afford by Bill Gates. Number 7, Things I Love About Hillary by Bill Clinton. And the sequel, number 6, Things I Love About Bill by Hillary Clinton. Number 5, My Christian Accomplishments and How I Helped After Katrina by Reverend Jesse Jackson and Reverend Al Sharpton. Boy, they're prolific writers, aren't they? Number 4, Things I Love About My Country by Jane Fonda and Cindy Sheehan, illustrated by Michael Moore. Number 3, My Black Girlfriends by Tiger Woods. Number 2, Things I Did to Deserve the Nobel Peace Prize by Barack Obama. And I added one on my own to the list. Number 1, Reasons I Am Constitutionally Eligible to Be the President of the United States by Barack H. Obama, forward by Larry Sinclair, introduction by Nancy Pelosi, edited by Zbigniew Brzezinski, Bill Ayers, Tony Resko, and Rod Blagojevich. Those are the world's shortest books. You should be able to read those in no time. With that, I would like to invite back to Evident Footprints my guest who hosts his own radio show, Zero Point, on BBSRadio.com every second Saturday. And He is a clinical and forensic psychologist, and he's a mystic scientist as well. He's been exploring the enigmas of human consciousness, mysteries of the heart, psychology as the science of the soul, the physics and metaphysics of creation, and zero-point dynamics. And that's just some of what he does and who he is. My good friend, welcome to Evident Footprints, Mr. Christopher Holmes, Ph.D.
Good evening, Don. Thanks. A pleasure to be back. That's quite a list. You must have had fun creating that.
Well, actually, the majority of the list was sent to me. I felt number one was on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Based on my research, that would be the shortest one, I think. So, Christopher, I have been talking, if you've been listening to the show or some of the other shows I've been on, we've been talking, I should say, about what's been going on in the Gulf and exposing the financial corruption behind the scenes. And on the basis of what we've learned, what we're being told is nothing but another pack of lies. And I wanted to get into a short discussion before I actually add a piece of music to the show, which is going to serve a purpose, and I'll explain that in a couple of moments. People are in fear, and you have to ask yourself, what causes this fear? Well, we're bombarded with images and symbology. We're told stories. The majority of the stories we're told are lies, so they are illusions. And they are lies and illusions and stories designed to create fear, because those that are creating them are operating in fear, and that's the only way they know how to operate. They're in fear of getting caught. They're in fear of us learning who we are and coming to a reality in a meaningful way that we can be effective and contribute to the well-being of the world, as opposed to allowing it to be destroyed, along with humanity and nature. So we have a monumental task, but it's pretty simple. You've written about this in your book. We've talked about this topic, about opening up the heart and differentiating between what God's laws are or God's thoughts, what the creation is about, and how we are a part of that. We have been taught to forget it, but we can learn to remember it. And I think you would agree that we're going through an experience right now across the planet where people are sensing that something is changing, that we're waking up. Do you agree with that, or do you want to comment at all on that?
Well, yeah, it is happening around the planet. I see it as a worldwide movement of people waking up from the illusion and realizing all these lies we've been told. I think 9/11 was the Achilles heel of the New World Order. Like, it's just so atrocious what they did. And it's so obvious, like, the standard story is so obviously a farce. And the majority of people now, I think, believe that 9/11 involved the government and it was an inside job. So I think that's been huge. And then, you know, through the internet, all the awakening into the poisons and the inoculations to you know, what's being done with the food, the GM foods, like they're affronting us on so many sides at the same time. You know, different people are taking up different issues. There's the wars, these criminal wars that are going on while we're being sprayed with chemtrails. And now the role of the bankers and this class of elite through American history, that's come out so much through the internet. Like, it's been a great learning period for me the last 3 to 4 years. And I find as you learn more and more, it fills you with light. It's like the truth in a way. I think a lot of people in fear, especially, it's like that you need, it helps to become part of the truth movement and learn the truth of what's going on. And there is a community a worldwide community of people who are in this movement and identify with it. So I think that's helpful to people to cope with their fear. And people that, you know, they can't, where can they turn to find out legitimate information otherwise?
Yeah.
You know, the newspapers lie to them, the TVs are ridiculous, and the movies are Hollywood trash, and, you know, and the magazines and even the books, like, these people have taken over publications. They took over textbook publishing. I mean, this has been such a systematic scheme that they've perpetuated through the last decades or centuries. You know, and waking up, it's like everything you thought to be true about your country and your churches and your community, all these things are lies at every level.
Yes. Well, Christopher, I want to get into these things in depth, but I want to do it, and I'm hoping you will join me in this, in reviewing some of the aspects of your book, The Heart Doctrine. And I know that when folks listen to what I'm about to play, that if anybody has a soul, this music is going to touch their soul, and it's going to open up their heart. And we're not going to be dealing with things of the head. We could go through, and you're doing an excellent job of describing all the different ways that we are manipulated and forced to accept fantasy and deception and illusion for a reality. And it's all targeted toward the mind. Everything that's being done is targeting the mind to the detriment of the heart. And what I'm going to play is, obviously, to anyone that has a heart and can open it just for 5 minutes, you will know that the person who wrote and sang this song has a connection with the Creator. There is no doubt about it. And it will bring something out of you. You may get the chills. You may feel tears falling down your cheek. You may feel like reaching out to communicate with somebody. Or things may all of a sudden become clear. But if nothing else, listen to the words, feel the music, and I want to emphasize this. It's very simple music, but feel the music as you listen to the meaning of the words, because this is truly a message from God, this song. And it's very simple. A child can understand this. And if we can practice doing this, then we will eliminate fear. The fear will have no place to reside in our being. I'm going to play a song recorded by Lucinda Drayton. She's from England. She lives outside of London, and she's a fabulous singer, a very successful recording artist. I'm going to try to get her on the show as well. And the song is called 100,000 Angels. Thank you. Are everywhere. You just have to look. A 100,000 angels. That was Lucinda Drayton. And if there aren't 100,000 angels, you just heard one sing. What a voice. Christopher, do you have any impressions of that song?
What a beautiful song. It's inspiring. It reminded me of my experience about 3 years ago at a point where I was kind of really in fear of what was happening and going on. And I had four white ducks, and I lived by the river, and these ducks are beautiful, beautiful ducks, and they were called fire, water, air, and earth after the elements. And I had a dream in the night, and in my dream I was wrapped in the downy wings of angels, and that was my experience of it. It was so beautiful, one of the most beautiful experiences I'd had in my life. So for me, it kind of brought back memories of that experience.
Mm-hmm. My impression, as I said before I even played this, and I want to dedicate that, by the way, to the members of the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, those folks that watch over us day and night, all over the planet, And they've been a topic of the show many times, and it's been a while since I've given them a shout-out, so there you are, folks. This song is definitively one of the best songs that I've ever heard, just because of its meaning and its source. God uses many people to be messengers. And there's no pretense, there's no axe to grind, it's a simple message. And if anybody out there in the listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, is feeling or was feeling fear, I would venture to guess that that fear has left you. And if you can hold on to the vibration of that song throughout the rest of the show, you're not going to fear anything that Christopher and I talk about. And I feel that that was necessary to say, because someone would wonder, well, why is he playing this song? It opens up your heart. I must have listened to this song 30 or 40 times throughout the course of the day. And I had this in my possession for a good year, year and a half. And never thought to play it on the show. And, boy, I just felt that energy coming through today, that we have to confront what's going on and understand that we're just being shown illusions. We're being manipulated. We're being taught to respond or to react to fear, mechanisms, lies, symbology. None of it means anything. It's not real. It's all from the realm of the ego and evil as well. This is a spiritual issue. Opening your heart is a spiritual act. And God will put you in the right place and have you be safe and have you do the right things. And if the premise of this song is true, each one of us has 100,000 angels around us. That's not a lot of angels. You know, when you consider the size of the universe. Christopher, your comments.
Well, and the universe is holographic. You remember the classics, they used to argue about how many angels could stand on the end of a pin. Have you ever heard that?
It was
a scholastic argument about that, and it takes on a funny significance in the zero point teaching I do, and how things are rooted into higher dimensions, and there can be all these angels at every point. So they do pervade our space, and we can call on them, and they can manifest and such.
Yes, I agree with that. And in fact, I've been doing a lot of research today, and I kept going down this path that was leading me to higher consciousness and angelic beings, and I was basically just doing some house cleaning of files and stuff, and I came across this song, and I said, "This is not a coincidence. This was supposed to happen." You know what I'm saying? It's time now. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's time for us to feel that. I mean, we need to feel empowered and overcome our fears and awaken in the heart. I mean, that's the whole intention of the heart doctrine, is saying how a false consciousness system has been intentionally perpetrated in humankind through all the conditioning of the mind and education and the media. It's this whole false consciousness system and illusion, and everything we've been told has been a lie, in a sense. So it's breaking down that false consciousness system and kind of recovering the original consciousness of the heart, which is our spiritual consciousness and our child consciousness. So we have to recover this and be empowered through this. I think what's important about the heart doctrine teaching and that concept is that this is in all of the world's religions. And I think the elites through history, they've tried to present religions as sources of conflict between peoples, but you find the heart doctrine in all the essential religions, and it's something that should unify people of all religions around the world to face our common foe, which is not people of other religions, but rather these elites who behind the scenes have schemed all these things through the last decades.
Yes, and there appears to be a level of demonic activity that's never occurred here on the earth. If you want to get into numbers and how many millions of people have been drugged into these secret programs and secret societies and secret agendas, everything is secret. Why does it have to be secret? When you ask that question, you immediately see that something is in disrepair and has to be fixed. But everyone who doesn't see what's going on is just accepting it as their lot, as if they have no power to change it. And the heart doctrine is about recognizing that power, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess if we can become established in the heart is described, there's a bliss sheath. And if you become established in the heart, then you feel that inherent blissfulness of being connected to this spiritual center within your heart. And then you can live in that blissfulness, and you're illumined by the light of that. And that can illuminate your higher, like your minds and your intuitions and higher faculties. So if we can become established in that, then that can help us overcome fear, which is fear is based in the lower three centers or chakras, especially in the navel chakra, like in the stomach area. People, that's, you have the solar plexus, and people feel fear and anxiety in the solar plexus. So if we can move up from the solar plexus into the heart center and open our heart, then that can help us to be strong and brave and be illumined. And we, in a way, we need to be filled with bliss no matter what's happening around us in the world, but especially in these dire kind of circumstances. We have to attain our souls. See, I believe that the heart and soul are interrelated, and people know that intuitively, and it's all in the music all the time, the heart and soul. And you know, if we lose heart, and we can lose our soul, I believe our soul can be consumed by these beings even after death. I believe our soul can pass into their kingdoms, like to the moon and the dark side of the moon, or into underworlds. So I think the souls and people can be consumed by that. So especially we need to be strong in the heart and to attain our soul and recover that identity. And I see it as a battle for the souls of humankind. And the Illuminati, the last thing they want is for people to begin to feel God-inspired and realize the infinite consciousness latent within themselves. You know, they've done everything to hide such ideas and secrets from us.
Now, one of the ways, and you said the perfect thing for us to segue into, I think, this discussion a little bit deeper, and we're going to be repeating ourselves, but for the context of a complete show and someone who's just joining us, it bears repeating. We often talk about how the educational system has prepared us to think certain ways, and they've done this by some very rudimentary methods of teaching us through memorization. And when we get into science and history, especially, and the languages, we're not taught the real nature of science. We're not taught about nature in the deepest sense. We're not taught about who we are in the proper sense. The soul is denied in physiology class, and yet it is who we are. I find that rather ironic that the people that have given themselves the authority, or the people we have allowed to have that authority, have determined that we function better for the world's purposes and their own purposes if we do what they would like us to do, if we react the way they would like us to react. And in history, we're given lies about what precipitated a war. We're witnessing it in real time. So we can look back at history, and if we have the gumption and the perseverance to dig up the facts, we can dispel the lies. Okay, they're lies. All the fear and the death and the destruction was not about peace. It wasn't about opening your heart and loving one another and communing with the universe. It's about destruction and death. It's all the opposite of those things. And the same in religion. Organized religion is the same way. Is it every organization? No. But you don't need the organization to find God. You can do it. You have the ability within yourself. And music is one way to open the heart. And certainly a message in the music. You know, that was not a toe-tapping song, but opening your heart is not a toe-tapping event. So God uses people like Lucinda Drayton to deliver the message. She's a messenger. And yet there's a creativity there because she had the courage to open her heart and allow the truth and the power in that truth to come into her. She doesn't even consider herself a particularly educated musician. She claims that she's gotten her talent and technique from doing gigs, from working, from being a musician, from being a singer. And that's where the doing comes in. When we say you have to do something about what's going on, folks, you have to speak out. You have to take an attitude. And if you remind yourself, if you stay in the vibration of this song, you remind yourself that the fear can leave you. The fear really isn't even there. It's just that you think you see it and you think you feel it so strongly that it becomes a part of your awareness, and yet you're paying attention to an illusion because fear is not real. Christopher, do you want to comment on any of that?
Yeah, fear is like created through the mind and anticipation of the future and imagining things. And I mean, fear is also an instinctual emotion in that you can fear harm, physical harm coming to yourself. So it's a part of our natural nature, like the material nature. So it's natural in ways for people to have fear. But at the same time, the more we can live in the heart, then we can not, then the fear isn't created within us, and we can experience that inner state of blissfulness, and be strong in that and feel a sense of courage from that, and of awe and surrender. Was my experience in that song. It's like it's surrendering into the heavenly realms and the angels. And I remember when I was young, at night, I used to, in my dream states, be able to hear these most beautiful, beautiful heavenly music. And then I'd come back and there was nothing on the radio, anything near as beautiful as this kind of heavenly music I would hear in my dream states. It's an inspiring song. It's like we need the help of the angels. You know, we need to, you know, call down the angels and evoke the angels, beg the angels to help us and the archangels. And, you know, we're in a dire situation, humankind is. It's very precarious, and it really could turn either way, that we can end up in a Orwellian fascist state, like, just terrible. Or we could reclaim our world, and maybe for once in human history, if we ever got at the roots of all the wars and crime and poverty and disease, all kind of interrelated to the same roots, if we could ever root those things out and return the wealth of the world to the people of the world, we could have a truly new age. abundance for everybody and bring out all new technologies and a whole new age. Like the potential is there for an age of enlightenment and awakening to our place in the cosmos and, you know, facing the fact of there being other alien beings and intelligences and learn about our own history and all these things which have been kept from us.
Yes. Well,
so we're it. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to make a comment about science in a great way. Science has been used to develop means of controlling us electronically or electromagnetically or even with more exotic technologies. And it's all destructive. I mean, when you see what the source is, there is no reason to fear it. If you know that you are able to make a connection with God, the creator of the universe, not the destroyer of the universe, you can easily differentiate between the truth and a lie when you hear it. I've seen, we'll use just a quick example here, if I may, Christopher. The Gulf of Mexico, we've seen 6 or 7 different wellheads.
And, yeah.
And they're in laboratories with tanks. You see doors opening and people walking into the doorway and,
That on YouTube. It's very useful to see that. That's very funny, seeing that door open and the silhouette of that person in the doorway twice. Yeah, and the different colors of it.
I had that video on my website, on my documentaries page. I was impressed with the work that young lady did describing how ridiculous that whole thing is. And, you know, we see the pipe is to the side at 90 degrees, then it's straight up, perpendicular to the floor of the ocean. Then it's at an angle a little bit, and then the whole thing is moving and swaying inside this tank. You know, it's ridiculous. So if they have to lie about the story, we're not getting the truth about anything. That's what we have to realize. There's no little bit of truth. The truth is what you see, folks, out there. The pollution, the dead animals, the dead fish, the dead birds, the dead dolphins, and all the dead aquatic life that's there, the marine life, and the pollution on the beaches and the marshes. And the fact that they have to bring mercenary thugs in there to keep people away, that's how fearful they are about you learning the truth. Well, it's simple. We don't even have to get into the details of what they're doing because they're lying about everything. And we've exposed the financial connections on the show and on some other shows as well. And it's more of the Ponzi schemes and put options and organized crime. That's all it is. We're dealing with criminals. And I like how you have the 3 P's, and we added another P word. How you describe these criminals?
I call perverts, pedophiles, and psychopaths. And you added parasites. Yeah, they're not productive. That was a useful distinction. Yeah, we've been lied to about everything, and it's outrageous. And it's like, do the police care? It's like these same people control the intelligence and police services at so many levels. Like, why aren't these people in jail? Why isn't someone investigating this, you know? That's what's also so troubling about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you consider our education and our indoctrination into this belief system, you're led to believe that the police are there to protect us, but we're not witnessing that. So is that a lie, too? You know, do we fear that, or do we cope with the fact that this cabal that's orchestrated all this has their own goals in mind, and they care not about what happens to us? So if you're in the mindset that the government's going to take care of you, get out of it. And start taking charge of your own life. That's what we're saying here. That's what opening the heart and becoming conscious is about realizing that the fear you feel, false evidence appearing real, that fear is nothing but an illusion, supported by stories and lies and symbols and more illusions. You know, if I can, we had a lie from Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky deposition. He lied about everything during that deposition because in the end, didn't it come out that they had semen stains on Monica Lewinsky's blue dress? And she threatened to bring that in as evidence. And I think the FBI had examined it. Somebody did. Who knows? Maybe it was one of the religious organizations. But they told us that they had this dress, and it was the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, in terms of all the lies he had told us. He was asked a series of questions in his deposition, and in fact, I'm going to play what he said. It's a very short clip, so listen very carefully here. This is Bill Clinton in the deposition regarding Monica Lewinsky's claims of sexual harassment as she was an intern.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Okay, he said, I'm going to play this one more time. The person that recorded this and posted it on YouTube had music playing in the background, but maybe he did this just to make it have a little bit of a party feel. Again,
it depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. You know, I had a revelation this afternoon, Christopher, when I heard this. Is spelled I-S-I-S.
ISIS.
ISIS or ISIS, depending on what ISIS pronunciation you want to use. The mother of Horus. So you want to get into
goddess of the night and space as well.
Yeah, and this comes from Egyptian alchemy, we could say. Mm-hmm. Okay, the invocation of that name, but he used it in a sentence, and I wonder if he even was conscious that he used it. He was using his legal mind, but you see how another meaning came out. Did you ever hear anyone use the word is after the word is before in your life? Probably not until we heard that. It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. That's what he said. Is ISIS or ISIS. He's invoking an ancient name of the goddess of fertility of all the names he picks, you know. And he's being asked questions about sexual harassment there. So it comes out subconsciously, doesn't it?
Well, so I don't know. I don't know if he was would be aware even of that. Is the meaning, I guess you think he would be? I mean, I thought it was more just unconscious in him, but.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
they are good pathological liars. I mean, it's amazing how our politicians, I mean, they lie about everything, and the media people, it's like they're all pathological liars. I mean, it's disgraceful, that report that, you know, there are 850,000 Americans employed by all these intelligence agencies with top secret clearance, like 850,000. It's like, holy smokes, the government's doing so many criminal things at once. You know, it's terrible. You know, we're not told the truth about anything.
Yeah, and obviously with the corruption that's going on, they're not stopping the corruption, so they must be trying to stop those who are exposing the corruption.
Yeah.
what other reason? It depends on what the meaning of the word is. now there was I'd like to play another clip here. I know this is quite unusual, but this is the spouse when she was Senator Hillary Clinton, and she's going to make a statement that's quite revealing here, and I'm going to play this this piece here. This is a slip of the tongue, we're going to call this. And she's being interviewed by CNN reporter, and I think she's the White House reporter, Candy Crowley, or Crowley, however you want to pronounce the name.
A new national poll confirming Americans overwhelmingly opposed to the giving of driver's licenses to illegal aliens. 77% of those surveyed in a Washington Times Rasmussen Reports poll opposing the those licenses for illegal aliens. 88% of Republicans opposed in the survey. 75% of independents. 68% of Democrats. So it's across the board. New York's Governor Elliot Spitzer facing that level of opposition to his outrageous proposal to give driver's licenses away to illegal aliens. And presidential candidate Senator Hillary Clinton, supporting the governor, is feeling the heat as well. Former President Bill Clinton went to his wife's defense on the issue last night. By golly, he compared the criticism of her position to the anti-John Kerry ads from the last presidential election, saying, quote, "I had the feeling that at the end of that last debate, we were about to get into cutesy land again." And the former president said the driver's license issue is a complicated one, too complicated for a yes or no answer. He said, "It's fine for Hillary and all the other Democrats to discuss Governor Spitzer's plan, but not in 30 seconds. Yes, no, raise your hand." Whoa. Senator Clinton today used almost identical language when asked about the Spitzer plan by our own Candy Crowley. Candy is in Newton, Iowa, joining us now. Candy, did Senator Clinton give you a straight answer, or does she still feel like she was swift-boated?
Well, let me set this up for you. The question to her was, would this be correct if I wrote it? Barring a bill on illegal immigration, Hillary Clinton supports driver's licenses for illegal immigrants. Here's what she said.
No, what I've said is that I support what governors are trying to do. And governors are on the front lines because of the failures to get comprehensive immigration reform. There are already 8 states that issue driver's licenses without any verification of citizenship. That's a decision that the governors and legislatures and the people of those states have made. I understand.
But you see why people think
that
you're not answering the question.
Well, but I think that if you go back and look at the complexity of this issue, I don't think a lot of these hard questions lend themselves to raising your hand. And I know that that's easier in a 30-second, you know, context to try to do. I think the fact that governors are being forced into this position is really unfortunate. They should not be making immigration policy. The federal government should be making immigration policy. And that's what I'm going to try to do as president again. That's what I'm going to try to do as president again. That's what I'm going to try to do as president again. That's what I'm going to try to do as president again. And I do not believe that in the context of federal immigration reform, that would be an issue that governors would have to contend with.
I find it very interesting. That's an excellent production, I think. Somebody put on the brakes there and let us hear that statement about her being president again.
Yeah, wasn't that odd?
Very odd. And did you notice the talking point? Lou Dobbs mentioned 30 seconds, and Hillary mentioned 30 seconds. And, of course, she was on the campaign trail in a bus. So how did she know to mention the 30 seconds? Or how did Lou Dobbs know to mention the 30 seconds? That's the spin, folks. That's the talking points. That's the propaganda. It's conditioning you. Also, to give licenses, driver's license, or any other kind of license to an illegal alien is part of the insanity that we're talking about. Because these people shouldn't be here in the first place. There's a legal way to enter the country. So I thought I would bring up a couple of subconscious slips where subconsciously they're lying to us. And it's easy to spot, isn't it?
I had a question about that clip, Don. Was that, it sounded to me the voice that came in was almost like someone speaking to her that put her back on track. Is that what happened?
That was Candy Crowley. She said,
"Oh, that was the reporter actually said that."
Yeah, she said, "But you're not answering the question." See?
She
does the same thing the short-legged Mac Daddy does. He dances around the question. When he was asked about favorite baseball team in Chicago, he changes the subject and says, well, I was born in Hawaii.
Yeah.
He didn't ask where you were born, but he used that as an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for me to fight back against all the alternative media, which is the truth media now, exposing the fact that I am not a U.S. citizen. I'm not qualified. I'm not constitutionally eligible to be president. He had to make that statement, and he ends up saying because he lived in Hawaii, he rooted for the Oakland A's. Ridiculous statement. And that was a lie. All he did was dance around the question, you see.
Yeah.
And because he said it doesn't make it true. It's preposterous, and I can tell you why that statement's not true, because he wasn't born in Hawaii, and he didn't go to school in Hawaii. It's simple. And I've proven that in my research. Because if the documents are phony or not there, and the pictures are phony, which there are compilations, then the whole story is a fraud. It's nothing else. What is there to fear there? The fear that no one else has the guts to do anything about it? You know, I'm not in the military, I'm not in law enforcement, but I'm a researcher, and I went out and I dug up the facts. Knowing in my consciousness, knowing in my being, that this is a usurper. It's a charlatan, it's a faker, it's a fraud. And the people he's appointed are frauds for supporting it, for allowing it to occur. But many of them are infiltrators too, you see. So how do we deal with the reality of being told, well, they're going to make us leave here, or they're going to make us pay for this, or we're going to have to, you know, give up this and that, and whatever they can dream up, whatever they can convert into money and penalties while they keep trying to kill us, murder us through chemtrail poisoning, food poisoning, water poisoning, or assassination. You know, I know I sound like I'm ranting here. I'm just pointing out that people are in fear of these things. Well, you know, you could wake up dead tomorrow just by lying in your bed, okay? And I'm being a bit facetious. You won't wake up, but that happens to people all over the place. The question is, what was the cause of it? And certainly you wouldn't allow someone to break into your home and rape your wife and your daughter and murder your whole family. You wouldn't allow that to happen. But we've allowed it to happen to our country. Or I should say countries, because this is going on all over the world. Any comment you want to make, Christopher, please?
I'm not sure. I mean, I like your rants. I like it when you often, at the beginning of shows, you'll get into a rant and you'll apologize sometimes. And I feel, oh, don't apologize. I love hearing your rants. I feel the same kind of outrage at all what's being done to us and how nothing is done to kind of restore justice. Like, where are the police? Why aren't these people in jail? Why, with anything, you know, it's a media so criminal. It's our whole government. It is overwhelming. I know I feel overwhelmed with it at times. It's hard. Like, what do we do? You know, I don't know more, a lot to do than like mass awakening. We just have to kind of wake people up to the truth and then, you know, we need to be assembling and somehow be taking control. And, you know, I guess we need to fight them at every level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Municipal, state, and provincial, federal, worldwide. You know, it's hard to, it is overwhelming. And I can see why people who are isolated and don't have much understanding of it all, you know, sink into fear. And, you know, it's overwhelming, and so people kind of shut down, and we have to overcome that. I like the David Icke book, the new one. It's what's the name of it? I was trying to remember the name of it. It's like humankind, get off your knees. The lion sleeps no more. something to that effect. And it's like, yeah, that's what we need. It's like, you know, human race, get off your knees. Yeah. And that's what we got to get off our knees. We got to kind of stand up and take back our countries and, you know, collectively face these demons that have overtaken our countries. And, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, we have to do something on these different levels, municipal, state, and federal, of course. It begins on a local basis, and nothing can be more local than you starting with yourself.
Yeah.
You know? it's the essence of what we're saying here is that it begins with each individual, but we can be doing this simultaneously. We don't have to wait and stand in line for this to happen. This can happen simultaneously. We have people praying for the health and the well-being of other people, and we're hearing about miracles every day from all over the world. And if we can do that for others, certainly we can do that for ourselves in the interest of everyone. And those that can't keep up with the changes that are taking place in the universe, we're going to fall by the wayside. Right now they call themselves the elite, but they're being exposed on every front. You know, their dirty laundry's out, you know, and they just feel, well, you know, they have so much power, they can just do what they want and nothing's going to stop it. There never in the history of the world has any regime survived through all this. Now, you're talking about a worldwide, a planetary movement to just enslave the whole planet. And in many ways, they already calculate that they have us enslaved, and but they're underestimating what's occurring, or they're just pretending. Again, they're lying about how they really feel about it. My sense is that they're in great fear. How about you, Christopher?
I think that's coming now. I think they're starting to be seriously afraid. And I do think they've had it in place, and in a way their system's been in place. But then they want to take such dramatic steps. I mean, they want to eliminate billions of people. Like, this is really serious stuff. So, and people are resisting. People don't trust them. Like, people don't trust the inoculations. And when all these things happen, so many people now know. They look immediately for false flag event, you know, and they are suspicious. And so people aren't believing their lies as they used to. So Brzezinski made a comment how for the first time there was this kind of growing global awakening and political sense that was emerging. Brzezinski said that at the Council on Foreign Relations, I think, this year. So that is profound, and they need to be threatened. At all different levels. I mean, it's so complex. It's such a monster. It's across all the countries. And as I understand it, you once described it as an Anglo-American Israeli type of complex. And that's kind of how I see it, centered in London, England, and you know, the Council of 300 and the Illuminati and these kind of aristocratic families of Europe and you know, all kinds of mobsters. Like, it's a complex kind of structure, and they, you know, they have all these kind of different round tables and different factions of that, like the CFR and the Bilderbergs and the Trilateralists and all their think tanks. And it's a very, very complex structure. It's amazing what they've been able to create incrementally, such that people were never really aware of what the larger scheme of it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's like they, you know, it's like you better do one thing or get off the pot. It's like they're coming to that point where they're becoming exposed, but at the same time, they've got to take those next steps, which are really dramatic steps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm not sure they feel they have everything in place. You know, the police are waking up more, military's waking up more.
Yeah, the report that you were referring to about all of these corporations and agencies, bureaucracies that they've created, yeah, with hundreds of thousands of people working, and it's in disarray. The gist of that story was that it's out of control, and it's not serving the purpose it's intended to serve in terms of what they're telling everyone. So the purpose then is to confuse and confound and just create a myriad of possibilities. Isn't that what chaos is? See, they're trying to lead us down a path of chaos by having these regulatory agencies be chaotic themselves. The whole system has to be chaotic. We don't need to fear their chaos. We don't need to fear their fear. Would you agree with that?
I believe if we're established in ourself or experience God or enlightenment, then that helps to erase our fear, and that helps us. In the normal scheme of things with people, I can understand why people feel fear, and objectively there certainly is reason to fear. Like, although fear is an illusion, it's not like in the realm of the mind and what's happening in the physical realm, like there is reason to fear. Like for me, not even just for yourself, like I fear for the people in the Gulf. You know, mm-hmm. I have fear for that because, like, my heart's open to them. I believe if your heart is open in a way, it's like all people, we're part of one family. Like, I see children in Iraq, you know, homeless kids, and it's like they're my children. I feel that about, like, children. We're all part of one human family. And so I fear for humankind. There's different ways of using that word fear.
What about replacing the word fear with concern?
Well, yeah, that would be fine. I feel it's in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a line where Lord Krishna says that the wise lament neither the living nor the dead. And the reason, so the idea is the wise wouldn't lament death. And the reason you don't lament death is because you realize that you are not the body, that you are spirit soul. And when mm-hmm. you attain spirit soul, then you have no fear of death. So we're kind of facing the fear of death around us in the world, of ourselves and other people and of the planet. So we need to be established in self within that, and then the fear falls away, and then we can try to have courage and take steps to take back control.
Yeah, I use the word concern as a replacement for fear, because really that is a concern. I understand that we've been taught to say, well, I'm afraid this is going to happen, or I'm fearful this will happen. And we're in reinforcing the fear when yeah. we say that. Even if we mean to say that our intention is to take on some responsibility and actually affect a different outcome,
yeah,
say a positive outcome, a solution, mm-hmm. if you would, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm preaching to you. I'm just telling you that. When we use their words, then yeah. we're giving their actions, their intentions power.
Yeah.
And remember, their words are based on lies.
Yeah. And they live in fear most. They fear a lot. I mean, they're caught in a way. I see that they are most conditioned and live in most fear, because I believe they're controlled by these kind of demonic kinds of entities, and they live in fear. And they, the more we're in fear, the more they have control of us. So mm-hmm. we need to overcome and face these fears. And
we come full circle again, Christopher, because when we are feeling fear, then we haven't established our connection with God. We're not listening to God's message. God doesn't want us to be in fear. God never told us that we were creatures created out of fear. And it's not our nature. We're quite the opposite. We were created out of love. The absolute opposite. And I don't mean an addiction, like they love money and they love murder and they love ritual and they love symbology and they love satanic worship and demonology and anything that destroys, that's their goal. That's the reality I see. I see nothing benevolent about these people.
No, I agree with all of it. It's satanic at the highest levels, and that includes, you know, the murder of children in rituals, and I mean, it's terrible. You just learn more and more every day, new horror stories of the things they do through their mind control and their satanic services and things, underground places and human experimentation and, you know, kidnapping children from around the world and running all these sex slaves and pervert, you know, businesses and so on. It's terrible. As you learn more and more, it's more and more horrifying. I hope within their organization that more and more people will begin to turn, because a lot of people become part of it, but they don't really grasp the whole of it, and then they wake up to the whole of it, and it's not really what they wanted. So I'm hoping that our salvation may also be in their people deserting their ranks and turning away from it. Mm-hmm. Especially when they begin to realize that if the people are waking up, they don't want to be associated with the things that have gone on and what they've done. I mean, I think there has to be mercy shown to people who got entwined in this. Like, we would need worldwide truth hearings in ways, and I think need to understand different people's stories. I just pray that justice will be restored on the earth. It's just terrible that injustices in our society, in the wars and everything.
Yeah, well, it would be a return to divine order. At one point, there was a divine order on this planet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we tend to think in terms of the matrix, the box. I hear a lot of people, and this is an indication that they're in the box. Well, we have to vote these guys out and vote these ones back in, or, you know, there's some new ones coming up. It's the whole system, folks, is corrupt. And it's collapsing, and they're pretending that it hasn't collapsed. They're lying to us about everything. They're lying. So if you want the truth, you have to open up to receive the truth, and you do that through your heart. And what needs to go into your mind to heal your mind from all of the assault that it's been through your whole life, that will come up through the heart. That will come from God, the Creator. And as the song said, there's 100,000 angels here tonight around you. And I'm not a TV preacher. I'm not asking for money, because, man, these guys will just every time you see them, all they're doing is asking for money. And the Creator of the universe, as I've said many a time, does not have a cash flow problem.
Yeah.
The reality of being happy and knowing who you are and understanding the secrets of the universe have nothing to do with money. Christopher?
No, it's almost the opposite. People become so concerned with money, sex, and power are seen as the three lower motivations that prevents people from attaining the awakening of the heart and the experience of love and compassion. It's like the human evolution is described as having seven levels, and these people are controlled on the lower three levels, and they've prevented the awakening and evolution of humankind up to the higher levels. The fourth level is the awakening of the heart. and that's what they most have struggled to prevent. And they want to, the more and more they can, I mean, their greed and their lust and the money, sex, and power, they're driven by those motives, and they don't understand higher things. That's why those of us upright of heart around the world, we have to kind of wake up and come together and try to deal with this monster. You know, we need to take our countries back and establish the rule of laws again in our country.
Well, the Creator didn't make monsters. The demonic forces created those monsters. And so they're illusions, too. It's what you want to accept. Yes, you know, I go into a lot of detail about what they do. But the reason I do that is so that we can come to points like we are tonight and get people to step back for a moment and realize, hey, you are alive. Your life may not be exactly like you would choose it to be, but then choose it. Choose it and act accordingly is what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
Now in your many studies of religions and metaphysics and the various types of, let's say, spiritual philosophy, and in the context of your work, if you were to analyze any of the world leaders right now, and I won't even ask you which ones, you can take one of your own choosing, but as a clinical and forensic psychologist that has worked with people in the prisons, and how would you diagnose these people? You know, if you feel comfortable naming one, name one.
Well, in a general way, I mean, they're psychopaths, even though that's not in the DSM. For our, like, the diagnostic and statistical manual. They always kept the term psychopath out of it. Now I understand why they didn't want the term psychopath in there. But I would call them psychopath, which is, you know, they're only concerned with their own well-being. They use other people all the time. They're pathological liars. They lie so much they even believe their own lies. They have a history of using people in all kinds of relationships. I mean, they're psychopaths, and then they're narcissistic. I mean, they're self-centered. They're only concerned with their own self-satisfaction and perversions and wealth and gain. So they're narcissistic. I mean, a lot of them also undergo this kind of trauma conditioning also as children. So I believe that they become knotted about the heart. Like I talk in the Heart Doctrine book about the knots about the heart that form. And that, as that happens as a young child is traumatized or hurt physically and emotionally, and that they dissociate from their feeling center. So they have this feeling of inner emptiness or lack within themselves. So although on one level they're egomaniacs with a big ego, but there's this inner feeling of emptiness and insecurity in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a complex subject, you know, it's many different types and what holds them together is they don't have a heart. They lack a heart. And these aren't the people that you see in prisons. In a way, prisoners in the prisons, they come up from disadvantaged backgrounds. These are mama and papa darlings, you know, these people, they've been taught from the earliest that they were special or different and such like that. Whereas the guys I worked at in prison, they grew up in disadvantaged circumstances, all created by these elites. So the elites, in a way, they do offer, you know, I've never got to do counseling very much with people in this class. It would be interesting to do. I hope if we ever have them in a correctional center, maybe I'd go back to work in the corrections. That would be fun.
You'd have the prop guys that manufacture the mask for Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs. You'd have them turning out a few hundred thousand of those, wouldn't you? You know, oh my goodness, and straight jacket.
Yeah. It's pathetic. It's so sad what's happened in the tragic in human history. It's an amazing story, and it's ongoing. We have to see the keep it in that light, too, that we're lucky to be here at this time and to be part of this great awakening. And no matter what happens, all we can do is what we can do. But we need to all make some kind of effort and deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find a lot of what normally other people would be interested in. I have no interest anymore. Like, I couldn't watch TV. Or I couldn't watch Hollywood movies. All appear ridiculous to me. And so many things, sporting events and all the titillation. And none of that has significance, you know. It's like this truth concern kind of does overtake one's life.
Well, even that entertainment that you're talking about is corrupt.
Yeah, it is too. Yeah.
You know, whether it's a thrown event, you know, somebody's gambling or somebody's taking a bribe to throw the game, or whether somebody is not really singing but lip syncing with a digital recording playing in the background. You know, they're moving their lips like a puppet, basically. Yeah. A lot of that goes on in the music industry. There's a lot of fraud that goes on in art and in literature.
Yeah.
There's a lot of plagiarism and copyright infringement. Never wanting to give credit or in inventions, you know, in the patent office itself. And even in the corrupt way that the patents are described, because they're always made to look like they're something to benefit mankind, but as soon as they go into production, they become weaponized and turned against the people. You notice that?
Yeah, or suppressed in that. Yeah, and there seems like Hawking's, like from Hawking Cafe, what's the fellow's name? McConnell and...
David Hawkins and Field McConnell.
Yeah, he's an amazing character. He kind of takes some of the analysis to a whole different level of talking. Like, it seems these people are very tied into the patent offices, like the Michelle Obama and the Clintons, and this whole kind of corruption is very tied into patent offices. And I don't understand all what he teaches about these connections. I don't know if you listen to his show at all.
Well, he's been on my show a number of times. Both of them have.
Yeah.
They've been looking at the forensic side of what's going on with contracts and associations with certain organizations and educational institutions and the repetitive MO of seeing somebody in this think tank, and they're on a board of directors for a university, and they're running 50 or 100 Ponzi schemes or more in the background, maybe thousands of Ponzi schemes, and their name keeps cropping up with the same associations, the same people. My research has been into a lot of that, too. And I say that because when I had David and Field on the show, we were talking about how much money is made when they orchestrate an assassination through a plane crash.
Yeah.
You know, we went into great detail those issues, and they were a little taken aback by how much I knew about these things, because I had discovered everything behind the real estate corruption.
Oh,
We had millions of people being foreclosed on their homes because they weren't aware that the title to their property, their mortgage, and the property itself was signed over to some foreign entity who came in and just foreclosed. And most of these people said, well, now I'm living out on the street. And have you ever seen the media report about the tent cities around the country? No, they're lying to us, folks.
Yeah.
You know, wake up and have concern for your brothers and sisters in this country. Have a real heartfelt concern for them. And as we said, you know, we're out of time, but as we said, this happens by opening the heart. And Christopher, I want to allow you to give out your information and make a parting comment as well.
Yeah, well, thanks for, again, Don, for having me on. And my website's at www.zeropoint.ca. And I'd recommend to people that you read The Heart Doctrine, Mystical Views of the Origin and Nature of Human Consciousness. Thanks a lot, Don, and thanks, PBS Radio. Enjoy your show, Don. Keep it up. Goodbye.
All right. Well, I enjoy your show, too, and that's on every other Saturday. Are you on this Saturday, or is it the following
Saturday? Yes, this Saturday coming.
Okay. Very good. And the time of the show?
4 to 6 Eastern.
4 to 6 Eastern. So that is 1, 2, 3 on the West Coast. And you in the middle, you know how to calculate that. Christopher, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. And that is actually going to take place probably next month if you'll come back and see us.
I'd love to any time, Don. Thank you.
This is an important time, and your message has got to be heard. Again, folks, I encourage you, get a copy of Christopher's book, The Heart Doctrine. It's a very deep book, but if you have trouble understanding something, read it again. Take a moment and just go back and reread a sentence, and it'll sink in. And you'll find yourself opening up and understanding everything he's saying. It's really a well-researched, well-written, and very inspirational book. Christopher Holmes, thank you, and I wish you success in your work and a peaceful night.
Yeah, I hope to be wrapped in the arms of an angel, wings of an angel again. That's a beautiful song. Okay, thanks, Al. Goodbye.
All right. All right, you take care. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, and Don Newsom on the sound tonight at BBS Radio. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.